For our prayer meeting meditation, we'll read the entirety of this psalm. The unison reading will be from the first five verses in our corporate worship in a little while. So Psalm 30, hear the word of the Lord. A psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said, in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we as your people have gathered to pray and seek your face. We thank you for the ever mediation of Christ and for his once for all work for us upon the cross and his death and his resurrection. We thank you for your spirit that you have given unto us, whereby we pray unto you. And we ask you now to open your word to our hearts and prepare us for prayer, and prepare us for public worship, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. In the 30th Psalm, the psalmist is recounting an experience that he had. We don't know which experience of David it is, but he's recounting an experience where he had sinful pride. It was prideful overconfidence. You can see it in verse 6. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. And God chastened him for it. It seems that God brought him near unto death. He had a near-death experience, because he mentions that God brought his life up from the pit and from Sheol. And he mentions death. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? So this was obviously a traumatic experience. But God raised him up, and now he's praising God for that as he recounts this incident. I ask you, dear believer, to recall to memory. Can you think of experiences throughout your life? Some painful experience of God's chastisement. Maybe like the psalmist here, it was due to your own prideful overconfidence, and God used it to humble you. We saw in verse 6 that he says that he had this prideful overconfidence. In verse 3, he says, you've brought up my soul from Sheol. You've restored me from those that go down to the pit. In verse 9, he says, or rather in verse 12, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. He is giving glory and praise to God for this deliverance. Can you think of similar deliverances that God has wrought for you, dear believer? Think about things even before you were converted. Common grace deliverances and ways that God spared your life. When I read and think upon this theme, I can't help but think about some lessons I learned. One of them was that you never look behind you when you're driving a four-wheeler 35 miles an hour. And I just about died. I very easily could have broken my neck. When I looked back in front of me, I'd look back at my buddy. When I looked ahead of me, I was going into a ditch at 35 miles an hour. and went head over. The wheels went end over front, and the four-wheeler flipped forward several times. It could have snapped my neck just like that. Or I could have been crippled the rest of my life. But I guarantee you, to this day, when I think about that painful experience, when I'm changing lanes driving down the road now with my family, it's a very brief glance when I look back behind me. To this day, I think about it almost every time I shift lanes. You remember things like that. You can remember painful experiences of God's chastisement when He taught you lessons that you can never forget. This is what the psalmist is recalling to mind. This is not the best illustration, but it is. There are several parallels. I remember when I was a 7 or 8 year old boy, I got carried away running around chasing one of my buddies at a church facility where my dad was preaching. It was one of the best and nicest church facilities in the mountains there in that area where I was from. And my buddy ran into the bathroom downstairs and closed the door. And not thinking, I grabbed the broom beside the door to knock. I thought I was going to knock on the door. It rammed a hole right through the door. So I was scared to death, but I just sloughed it off. We went about our business chasing each other around and playing. Well, a little later, my dad asked me, "Do you know anything about that door in the basement?" And with great fear and trembling, I confessed to this thing I'd done due to my own overconfidence and neglect of thinking through what I do before I do it. I didn't get a whooping for it. He knew that I didn't do it on purpose. But what he did do, he made me go to that pastor, which was an elderly pastor, Ray Aiken, one of the most renowned and respected and venerable pastors in that whole region. And I had to go as a little boy and tell him what I'd done. I remember tears just pouring down my face. I remember shaking and trembling. But I confessed it to him. And then my dad said, "All right, you're going to work this off." It was $50 for the door. And he made me work for it, doing all kind of just nasty, sweaty labor with him throughout that summer, cleaning up old moldy boards and piling them up, different things like that, till I worked off that $50. And I guarantee you, to this day, my mentality is different in thinking about other people's stuff and what I do before I do it, because lessons like that teach you that everything you do has consequences. It was painful. It was no fun going through it, but it humbles you. And God uses it for His glory. Well, we think about memories like this, and we think about memories in our Christian walk. And far more serious and sober ways that God has afflicted and humbled us in His chastisement and changed our attitude. What are we to do when we think about past failures, even past sinful failures? That's the thought I want to consider for a few minutes. What to do about past failures? We'll see it in three basic thoughts. First of all, along with the psalmist here, when you remember past sinful failure, remember the failure in light of God's deliverance from it. This is what the psalmist is doing. You can remember, or you can think about this in ways that God has given you common grace deliverances. Near-death experience, an illness that could have killed you, a car wreck that could have killed you, where you almost had a car wreck, you almost had a head-on collision, or whatever the accident may have been, an accident at work, or something that happened, and you know that God spared your life. It may have even been before you were converted. We remember these things. Remember that God spared your life. It's He who has done it, and praise Him and thank Him for it. You can think of special grace deliverances, most of all in your salvation, the way God brought you to faith in Christ, brought you up out of the pit, not just of physical death, but of spiritual death, and saved you not just from death or calamity, but from eternal damnation. You can think about how that God delivered you from spiritual ignorance. Maybe you were in a church background in the past and you look back and think, "I can't believe I was in such spiritual ignorance and bondage." But praise God, He delivered me out of it. And He's still delivering me from present ignorance. You can think about periods of backsliding in your Christian life when you have grown cold towards God, and maybe you've fallen into sins you never dreamed that you would. And yet God delivered you out of it. When you recall these things, give Him glory and praise. And remember, when God humbles us of our prideful overconfidence like He did the psalmist, He does this as a result of Jesus Christ going to the cross for us, not for His own pride, because He had none, but He went there to pay for our sin of pride. Now God is teaching and reminding us of this. So remember the failure in light of God's deliverance. Use it as a means when you think about it. You think about that past sin or past failure of whatever kind, give God glory, for He delivered you from it. If not, you'd still either be in it or you'd be ruined by it. Secondly, praise God. Not only remember it in light of God's deliverance, but praise God for His deliverance from it. The psalmist here praises God personally, and so must we. In verse 1, I will extol You, O Lord, for You've drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. In verse 12, that my glory may sing Your praise and not be silent. O my God, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to You forever. The psalmist personally is saying, God has delivered me personally. I personally will worship and praise God for it. We ought to do this, dear Christian, every day. When you recall what you were before God brought you to faith in Christ, when you recall the sinful failings that you've had even since you've been saved, praise God for delivering you. Do it personally in your home and in family worship, around your table as you eat. Make known to your kids. Make known to your family the way the Lord has delivered you. Do it not only personally, but corporately. He says in verse 4, sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. He's calling all of God's people to worship God on account of this deliverance. Let's do this today in corporate prayer here, and in a few minutes in corporate worship. Let's corporately worship and thank and praise God who's delivered our life from the pit. And let's do this every Lord's Day. We gather corporately, partly for this purpose. Praise God, not only personally and corporately, but perpetually. He told us in verse 12, I will give thanks to You forever. What a sad thing if we just remembered and praised God for His deliverance once a year at Thanksgiving. Or even just once a week on Lord's Day. It ought to be a continual, perpetual thing. And this will never end in glory, where without hindrance or distraction, we will remember and worship and praise and thank God forever for His deliverance. And in this, remember, dear believer, that as we seek to praise God today, Christ has rendered perfect praise. He's the only man who's done so. He's rendered perfect praise to God and thanksgiving, and now He leads us in this. He did this in our place, and now He leads us in this today as our great High Priest. So not only must we remember the failure in light of God's deliverance, praise God for the deliverance, third and lastly, trust God now as a result of His deliverance. In verses 8 to 10, the psalmist finds himself presently crying to the Lord, presently trusting the Lord. He says, to You, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise You? Will it tell of Your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord, my helper. The psalmist is now trusting God with confidence and crying to the Lord with confidence, based on God's past deliverance. And I remind you, dear Christian, remember how the Trinity, triune God of glory, before the foundations of the world, God had already set His love upon you, and in the eternal covenant of redemption had made all the provision necessary to save you. In time, Christ came and redeemed you, and God sent His Spirit to apply all of this to you. Remember this. Remember how God has delivered you. And now trust God now. Trust Him now and for the future. As a result of this, the Lord brought David here from prideful overconfidence to humble trust. You see this trust in his crying to the Lord in prayer. May God work this in us now as we pray. Let us look unto Christ. By the help of the Spirit, praise and trust God together today, corporately.